The Blue Jays parting ways with a Baseball Hall of Famer. The club severing ties with Roberto Alomar amid an accusation of sexual misconduct. Good evening. As a player, Alomar helped guide Toronto to back-to-back World Series wins.
But it's his alleged behavior off the field that has both the team and the league now distancing themselves from the 53-year-old. CTV's Scott Lightfoot is live outside Rogers Centre tonight with more. Scott.
Well, inside the Rogers Centre, they are removing his name and his banners. When fans return for baseball, whenever that may be, they will find no signs inside the Rogers Centre. One of the most popular players ever to play with this team, after the team announced today they are cutting all ties. It is a fall from grace for one of the greatest to ever wear the Toronto Blue Jays uniform, Roberto Alomar, the 12-time All-Star second baseman from the Jays' World Series winning teams and the only player to be inducted into baseball's Hall of Fame as a Blue Jay, has now been banned from the league.
Alomar hammers it to right field. Gone, home run!
The punishment, which also includes his immediate termination as a consultant to the league, came after an independent investigation into an alleged sexual misconduct incident back in 2014. That incident was reported to the league earlier this year by an industry employee. In a statement, the Commissioner of Baseball said, "Having reviewed all of the available evidence from the now completed investigation, I have concluded that Mr. Alomar violated MLB's policies and that the termination of his consultant contract and placement on MLB's ineligible list are warranted."
That one drilled to right field.
The Jays say they support MLB's decision, and based on that and a review of the investigation's finding, they are severing all ties with the 10-time Gold Glove winner. They are also removing Alomar's banners from the Rogers Centre and taking him off the stadium's level of excellence. Alomar posted his own statement on Twitter in both English and Spanish. It reads in part, "I am disappointed, surprised, and upset with today's news. With the current social climate, I understand why Major League Baseball has taken the position they have. My hope is that this allegation can be heard in a venue that will allow me to address the accusation directly." Alomar goes on to say he will continue helping kids pursue their baseball dreams and that he will have no further comment at this time. Well, he will no longer be celebrated inside the Rogers Centre. Alomar will remain a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. The Hall's chairman says when Alomar was elected as part of the class of 2011, he was an eligible candidate in good standing, and his plaque will remain in recognition of his accomplishments on the field. So as of today, Alomar may not hold any role with any major or minor league baseball team. Both the team and the league in their statements praised the courage of the woman, the center of this, for coming forward. For Live Outside the Rogers Centre, I'm Scott Lightfoot. Zoraida, back to you.
Thank you, Scott. And our online team is keeping track of any developments with this story. You can find those details as they emerge on our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Turning to COVID-19 and the back and forth over the border, Ontario's premier calling for a crackdown.
Doug Ford asking Justin Trudeau to tighten the rules around a series of travel measures during this pandemic. CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is live with more. Colin.
And Premier Doug Ford has been raising concerns about domestic and international travelers potentially tracking variants of COVID-19 into Ontario, which is why the Premier is putting more pressure on the Prime Minister. The third wave of the pandemic has been fueled by variants of the virus. Up to 94% of all new cases in Ontario are now mutations of COVID-19. And according to Premier Doug Ford, they've made the situation that much worse.
You know, put it this way, if the borders were safe, the system would be working. I can tell you, and I think everyone can see, it's not working.
While the federal government shut down flights from India for 30 days, the premier is pushing the prime minister to go further, to close loopholes that allow people to cross the Canada-US border without isolating, and to restrict international students from coming to Canada.
Premier Ford asked that we suspend the arrival of international students. Because at this time, Ontario is the only province requesting this, we're happy to work more narrowly with them.
The Premier suggested today, without these measures, the province's health care system is at risk.
And sadly, not enough is being done to keep these deadly variants out of Canada. Last week, the new Indian variant was reported here in Ontario. And it didn't swim here, I can tell you that.
But how much of a threat does travel actually pose? According to data from Public Health Ontario, travel makes up a small sliver of new cases. Between April 17th and the 24th, Ontario recorded 33,000 new infections. 13,000 of those were acquired through a close contact. 2,000 cases resulted from outbreaks, including workplaces, while 406 cases, or just 1%, were due to travel. Federal health officials suggest the Ford government is responsible for managing the spread within Ontario's borders.
Any variants can be squished, if you like, and flattened in terms of its activity if the public health measures are in place domestically as well. We need the whole system to work together on that front.
The Premier today did not announce any new third wave measures. Also tonight, the Commission of Inquiry looking into long-term care in this province is expected to deliver its final report. The commissioners were tasked with looking into how COVID-19 was able to take nearly 4,000 lives during the pandemic. Earlier in the week, the Minister of Long-Term Care rejected any responsibility. Today, Premier Doug Ford said he's not going to pass the blame on to anybody else. Reporting live, I'm Colin DeMello. Now back to you.
Thank you, Colin. Looking at the wider virus picture, Public Health Ontario is reporting 3,887 new cases in its most recent update. That brings the province's total to more than 463,000 over the course of the pandemic. 21 more deaths are linked to the virus, putting that figure at 8,050, and more than 417,000 cases are considered resolved.
Here's tonight's regional breakdown with 1,331 new cases in the city of Toronto and 871 in Peel Region. York Region has 267 new cases with 208 in Durham and 204 in Hamilton. Niagara Region logging 156 new cases and 123 in Halton.
Reporting for duty, it is not the image anyone wanted to see here in Ontario.
Members of the military deployed to help our hospitals. Their work is now underway. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live outside Sunnybrook tonight with more. Beth.
Medical personnel with the Canadian Armed Forces arrived for their first shift this morning at 7:30. They'll be taking care of COVID-19 patients, doing things like EKG pacing and charting. It's thumbs up for a mission no one wanted to see. Canadian Armed Forces members once again on the front lines of the pandemic, this time caring for COVID-19 patients in hospital.
Frankly, this is a fantastic mission. My team is very excited, and we had great volunteers from across the country to come and work today. So pandemic, no pandemic, when we have a chance to help fellow Canadians, we're all in.
34 nurses and medical technicians from Joint Task Force Central have arrived to assist in the field hospital set up in a parking lot at Sunnybrook Health Sciences Center, tending to patients in the recovery phase from the virus.
Their lungs are recovering, but they're not ready to go home. They still need oxygen. And, you know, as a consequence of hospitalization, they often have a functional decline, so they may need physiotherapy.
Called the mobile health unit, it was only supposed to be used as a last resort when beds were no longer available in hospital buildings. It's part of the intense effort underway to relieve the extreme stress of Ontario's ailing healthcare system, increasingly transferring patients and canceling surgeries.
I would agree, it is very unsettling to see this in the middle of the city. Not something anyone would have predicted, but when you think of it in terms of creating capacity, it makes sense. We have really worked hard to ensure that the staff are comfortable integrating with not only you know, our military colleagues, but others who are staffing this as well.
8 patients are expected in beds here by the end of the day, the sick being accepted from around the GTA. The members treating them previously deployed in places like Iraq and Afghanistan.
I think what's more important is the skill sets that we bring to the table. Because of the nature of the tasks that we do on a routine basis, it allows us, what's within scope of practice, to be able to very quickly and seamlessly integrate.
This time in the fight to beef up staff and create hospital space against the surge of serious illness. The Canadian Armed Forces members are expected to be here between 4 and 6 weeks. Reporting live at Sunnybrook, I'm Beth McDonnell. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Beth. Just ahead, trying to get back on the water. Why some say the province's rules around outdoor activity go too far, and the government's hint at possible changes.
On the vaccination front, many more Ontarians will shortly be eligible for their shot.
The online booking portal expanded to a broader group, but as you can see, that isn't stopping the long lines at pop-up sites. Across the province, the Ministry of Health says more than 112,000 doses were administered yesterday, and more than 5.1 million shots have been given out since the start of the rollout. More than 371,000 people in Ontario are now considered fully vaccinated.
CTV's Austin Delaney is live in Scarborough tonight with more on the changes and the demand. Austin.
And there was a pop-up here in the Scarborough neighborhood today. It was here because of buildings like this. There's a cluster of apartment buildings, and the folks over at Michael Garron Hospital identified that this is a hotspot. There are many outbreaks here. From our chopper, the line for immunization against the deadly virus looked impossibly long this morning. But once the doors opened, it moved in a flash here at Pharmacy Avenue, north of Danforth.
Clean and simple. They're really good at what they're doing.
Taking only 40 minutes or so to get in and out. A far cry from other pop-ups where people waited up to 5 hours.
I think it's important to have it just because of the ICUs being so full.
By noon, anyone living in the M1L Scarborough high-risk postal code could practically walk in.
Our infectious disease team does a lot of great work tracking cases in our area, so we've pinpointed these buildings as to buildings where we know there's COVID cases. So we wanted to make sure we kind of chase the case and start vaccinating around these buildings.
The government, as of today, allowing anyone 55 and older to sign up through its portal for vaccines. Age 50 as of the week of May 3rd, 40 years old as of the week of May 10th, 30 plus by May 17th, and all adults over the age of 18 by the end of May.
Of course, tremendous demand out there, but there hasn't been the supply.
Ontario is about to get a huge influx of the Pfizer vaccine, just as supplies of AstraZeneca run low.
Depending on where you live, you'll absolutely be able to book your appointment by the end of May.
The province's Solicitor General pointing out 40% of all Ontarians have had at least one jab.
This is really the home stretch. You know, this is really where we've seen some of the public health measures really working, starting to take hold, starting to see, hopefully what looks like a crest in the wave.
Health experts weighing in that getting vaccinated is key. And they were doing about 300 shots an hour here. There were just over 1,000 shots available. When they ran out early this afternoon, people kept coming, so desperate to get a vaccine. Reporting live, I'm Austin Delaney.
Thank you, Austin. The City of Toronto is launching a new initiative to improve vaccine access for people who don't have OHIP cards. Those residents are still able to get a shot as long as they meet all other eligibility rules. The city and community partners are now teaming up to help with bookings at mass clinics. Anyone in need of assistance can contact FCJ Refugee Centre, Access Alliance, or the Toronto Public Health Hotline. You can find contact information and additional details on our website.
Meanwhile, in Peel, at least two desperately needed pop-up sites are now open for appointments. And with case counts still high, the need is obvious. CTV's John Musselman is live in Brampton with more. John.
Hi, Michelle. Yes, we're at the Brampton location. It's just wrapping up for the day, but this is a welcome relief for many of the residents in Peel who have been waiting for these pop-up clinics. They began lining up just before noon outside the Islamic Community Center in Mississauga, the first day of a multi-day pop-up clinic now being offered in Peel Region to anyone 18 years old and up.
It's definitely a relief, you know, closer to having your second shot as well, so it's just nice to have peace of mind. I went on Twitter and you just search up all the accounts that are giving info and you kind of try and book it as fast as possible.
Really excited and also hopeful that things will start to change now.
I think it makes sense in a way, right? You target where the virus is spreading the most, right? It seems to have a logic, a method to the madness.
Officials say they expect to administer 7,000 doses over the next 10 days. All of the spots here were booked within a 2-hour time frame. This pop-up is also helping area residents with specific religious needs. Mariam Manna is with the Muslim Association of Canada.
So we have blocked off an area where only female health workers and women can enter and feel comfortable to be able to take off, whether jacket or kind of be able to show their shoulders so that they can feel comfortable to be vaccinated.
The second pop-up vaccine clinic being offered in Peel Region today is located at the Brampton Islamic Center near McLaughlin Road and Bovard Drive. There was a small lineup of people waiting to get in.
I tried a few times, and then a lot of my friends are still on the waiting list. And yeah, I think I got lucky to be the first ones to get it today. It's pretty important that everyone gets vaccinated.
These clinics were not accepting walk-ins. You needed to book an appointment. And both the clinic in Mississauga and the one here in Brampton will operate every day for the next 10 days. Reporting live in Brampton, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back inside to you.
Thanks, John. And a reminder, our online team has a full rundown of vaccine eligibility, including a timeline of the changes for age groups. You can find all that information at ctvnewstoronto.ca/vaccines.
Wicked winds today. We are under a special weather statement. Let's check in with Lindsay Morrison. Lindsay, on the way in today, I could feel the wind pushing the vehicle.
And those winds are peaking right now, Zoraida, gusting close to 80 kilometers per hour around the city of Toronto. We are still under this special weather statement, but the good news is the winds are going to start to ease as we make our way through this evening, and I'm expecting that that advisory will be dropped. Peak wind gusts at this hour, upwards of 70 kilometers per hour in the Peterborough area. Winds have been strong today around Oshawa and Toronto as well. This is happening on the backside of a low that's bringing snow to places like the Nickel Belt, parts of Muskoka, Bancroft and over toward Ottawa. It's cold. Single-digit temperatures right now. And look at our forecast overnight low in Toronto, right around the freezing mark. We'll talk about the potential for frost and the rest of your weekend forecast coming up. For now, Michelle, over to you.
Thanks, Lindsay. And based on what she just said there, today may not have been the best day to hit the water, but it has been 2 weeks since the government imposed restrictions on many outdoor activities, including boating, soccer, and golf.
And medical professionals say that could be doing more harm than good. CTV's John Woodward is live along Lake Ontario today. John, you've been hearing from people who are eager to get back out there.
Zoraida, people here are mystified about how going alone on the water could have anything to do with spreading COVID-19, and the scientific community is agreeing with them, saying the provincial government with these restrictions is going overboard.
Ray Kautsky's boat at the Outer Harbour Marina is in the water, but going on the water is another story, thanks to provincial restrictions.
It's very frustrating, and the fact that we don't really see any reason for it.
Boats can be maintained, but not sailed out of the harbour, something Kautsky thinks doesn't hold water.
Because it's a safe outdoor activity.
5,000 people signing a petition to let Ontario boat agree with him, as do scientists who are questioning the point of restrictions on other outdoor activities like baseball, soccer, golf, and tennis.
I mean, the science is pretty clear that the risk of transmission for COVID-19 in outdoor settings is extremely rare. Of course, it's not 0%, but it's just a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of what the risk is in indoor venues.
2 weeks ago, Premier Doug Ford walked back restrictions on playgrounds after an outcry. Doctors tell CTV News it's time to walk back other outdoor restrictions, too.
Lift them all. Let people outside.
The problem is that when you close these things, you drive these people indoors. You're not seeing them, so you know you might feel better, but in fact, the risk of transmission is now much higher.
Dr. Suman Chakrabarty says his patients are largely people who are getting sick in indoor environments like factories or warehouses. Many living in high-density towers or in close contact with their households hurt more by outdoor restrictions.
When we talk about restrictions outdoors, we have to remember it doesn't affect all people equally.
Ontario's Solicitor General hinting that 2 weeks after the restrictions were put in, the government could be coming about.
I know that there are a number of conversations happening regarding it, and I hope that we will have news for you to share in the coming days and weeks.
Kautsky hoping the government listens to the science and lets him set sail.
And it's important to reiterate that outside activities are not without risk. Doctors pointing to active TO tomorrow, for example. Lots of people coming down to Lakeshore Boulevard, broadly safe, but they're still advising people to avoid crowds, socially distant, and wear a mask. Zoraida, back to you.
Thank you, John. Durham police have announced charges in Wednesday's wild shootout in Ajax. More than 40 shots were fired between two vehicles. A 26-year-old man and a 24-year-old woman suffered serious injuries and were taken to a trauma center. Police attempted to arrest Rashawn Samuels at the hospital. They say he assaulted an officer and then fled on foot. He was eventually taken into custody. He now faces multiple counts, including gun charges, charges related to his alleged attempt to flee, and a charge of failing to comply with a release order. 24-year-old Serena Ambersley Johnson of Toronto also faces gun and weapons charges in connection with the shooting.
They are the four lives lost in a devastating highway crash, all members of the same family.
Nearly 5 years later, a decision in court. A truck driver found guilty. CTV's Mike Walker reports.
It was a deadly and fiery 11-vehicle crash on Highway 400 in June 2016 after a tractor-trailer slammed into stop-and-go traffic. Today, a judge found the truck driver, Sarbjeet Matharu, guilty on four counts of criminal negligence causing death and one count of criminal negligence causing bodily harm. Justice Michael Code stating, I am satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt that Mr. Matharu's manner of driving his Volvo tractor trailer was the immediate cause of the escalating collision. The court heard Matharu's truck was traveling 90 kilometers per hour when it first crashed into a Hyundai, killing Maria Lipska, and triggered a series of collisions and an explosion that also claimed the lives of three members of the same family. 5-year-old Isabella Cucci, her mother 35-year-old Valbona Voschke, and grandmother Jimil Voschke. They were on their way home after spending the day at Wonderland. The court heard Matharu was on the final leg of a delivery from Winnipeg to the Hamilton area when the crash happened around 9:45 p.m. in the southbound lanes of Highway 400 near Shepherd. Witnesses testified the truck was traveling at a high rate of speed while traffic was slowing down and stopping in a construction zone. The judge found Matharu had been driving for 26 hours with only 2 hours sleep, had falsified his driving log in order to complete the delivery on time, was also distracted by lengthy phone calls with friends, and had exceeded the 80-kilometer speed limit on that stretch of the highway. A reasonably prudent long-haul truck driver would have foreseen the risk of a collision involving death or serious bodily harm in the circumstances of this case. Justice Code concluding that Mr. Matharu's ongoing risk-taking behavior throughout this time period leading up to the collision constituted a marked and substantial departure from the requisite standard of care. Matharu testified he wasn't responsible, that traffic wasn't stopped, and that he was cut off by another vehicle, alleging the deadly multi-vehicle crash was caused by the traffic behind him. But Justice Code ruled that testimony from witnesses and evidence collected at the scene contradicted his account. I am satisfied that Mr. Matharu's account is neither credible nor reliable, and that the eyewitnesses are credible and reliable. Matharu remains out on bail in his hometown of Winnipeg. A sentencing hearing will begin on June 21st. Mike Walker, CTV News.
A sad update on a story we shared with you last week. The wife of a Toronto man who disappeared on his way home from work says he has been found dead. 39-year-old Carol Jankowski texted his wife on April 6th saying he'd be there soon. He never arrived and a desperate search was launched. But this week, Amy Jankowski says detectives told her his body was located.
The City of Toronto revealed today that it may have been affected by a cyber breach earlier this year. The city says it was notified of the potential breach on January 22nd. The incident is linked to a third-party file transfer software vendor. An investigation is now underway to figure out what type of data could have been compromised in the cyber attack. Officials say anyone whose information was potentially accessed will be contacted.
Toronto police are sharing new figures on their efforts to stop gatherings during the stay-at-home order. In the week since police launched dedicated enforcement teams, officers attended 315 incidents, including 105 calls about gatherings since Monday. 230 charges were laid under the province's emergency orders. Toronto police have stressed they will not carry out random stops of people or cars. Officers can only ask people to identify themselves if they have reason to suspect they're taking part in a prohibited gathering.
COVID-19 has claimed the life of another member of Ontario's healthcare community, a 54-year-old nurse from Brampton. A union representing healthcare workers says, quote, we are mourning the loss of our dear member of 18 years, Lorraine Gouveia, who passed away due to COVID-19. Lorraine was a registered nurse, a fierce activist, loving mother, admired friend, and dedicated her life to making the lives of everyone she came in contact with better. Gouveia worked in Peel Region. She passed away on April 26th. Her funeral will be held on Tuesday.
We have new numbers tonight on air passengers who have tested positive after arriving in Canada. 96,000 international travelers have received a COVID-19 test. 1,700 tested positive for a variant of interest or a variant of concern while at a quarantine hotel. Another 1,400 tested positive for COVID-19 in general. That was on the test required 8 or 10 days after leaving the hotel. Earlier this week, data showed 557 positive tests for the 3 known variants of concern.
For the first time, Pfizer vaccines made in the U.S. will be coming north. We have been getting doses from the company's plant in Belgium. But starting next week, shipments will begin arriving from the Pfizer facility in Kalamazoo, Michigan. The Americans were keeping domestically produced vaccines for themselves, but the situation there has now improved. Ottawa says we will receive 2 million doses a week from Pfizer beginning next week.
Two Canadians are among the victims of a terrible tragedy in Israel. There was a stampede today during a religious celebration at Mount Maron. It was attended by tens of thousands of ultra-Orthodox Jews. At least 45 people were killed. More than 100 others were injured. It happened as people began to leave through a narrow tunnel-like passage. Witnesses say some began to fall on a slippery ramp, causing others to trip, sparking panic. The Canadians have been identified as Shraga Jessner and Dovi Steinmetz. Both were from Montreal.
So far, NASA has been thrilled with its $85 million Mars helicopter, and now the space agency wants to see more. The mini chopper's mission has been extended by about a month. The Ingenuity is now scheduled to continue test flights through May, tackling tough new terrain. It'll also serve as a scout for the Perseverance rover. The helicopter aced its fourth flight today.
Later tonight, foul play on the streets of one Toronto neighborhood. We all need a good stroll sometimes, and it turns out that even includes this spring chicken.
I'm Pat Foran. Coming up, it's Feedback Friday. The hot real estate market continues to cause problems for some renters and landlords. More people say they've had trouble selling items through classified websites. And if you hit a pothole and damage your car, you can seek compensation. But will you get it? Feedback Friday is just ahead.
As we say goodbye to April, it's worth mentioning that in the end, we got close to our normal amounts of rainfall. 13 millimeters yesterday certainly helped. And we also had that snowy day about a week and a half ago. Other than a few flurries earlier today north of the city, snow is not a concern for us tonight here in the city of Toronto, but frost is. We have an advisory in effect for tonight, so bring in or cover up any sensitive plants or crops that you may have and prepare yourself for some colder air moving in. We're already feeling it in many areas, and our temperature early tomorrow morning could be close to freezing. But we are looking at a nice rebound as we make our way through Saturday afternoon. A full look at your weekend forecast is coming up. CTV News will be back in 2 minutes.
The real estate market continues to show no signs of slowing down, which has caused problems for some renters if a landlord wants to sell their property.
We also have a roundup on potholes, damaging cars, selling items online, and today is the final day to file your taxes. Pat Foran joins us now with Feedback Friday. Pat.
That's right, Michelle. Some landlords have decided to cash in and sell their properties because of real estate prices. We heard from renters who say they're being forced to get out, but we also heard from landlords who say they have tenants refusing to pay rent during the pandemic.
It's just hopeless.
April Santala was shocked when she was told to get out of a house she's been renting for 4 years because the landlord wants to sell it. She can't be evicted during a pandemic, but she knows she'll eventually have to leave and found it's happening to other renters too.
Everyone's just being kicked out long term, 13 years, 15 years at a place, and their landlords are kicking everybody out.
Houston told us landlords can't raise rent, so they tell people to move out because they're selling, but they really just want a new tenant to charge higher rent. But Jennifer wrote, if the owner wants to sell their home, the renter has to go. With so many people not paying rent, I don't know why anyone would want to be a landlord these days. A recent study found Canadians are paying out billions of dollars in car repairs because of poor road conditions and potholes.
Bent rims to blown out tires.
undercarriage damage.
If you have low-profile tires, your car is even more susceptible to damage. If your vehicle needs repairs due to an improperly maintained road, you can seek reimbursement from the municipality, but most claims are turned down. Jim wrote, "I had pothole damage to my rims twice and both claims were refused. What good is the process if valid claims are denied?" E-bikes have become popular during the pandemic. Tom Alfandry decided to sell his electric bike using Facebook Marketplace. When the potential buyer showed up, he sat on the bike and then rode away.
It happened so quickly that I really didn't even have time to think.
Rita told us, "Someone also took my bike for a test spin and never came back. If you have home or renter's insurance, you may be able to make a claim." And have you filed your taxes yet? Today is the deadline to file your return for last year. If you receive CERB or other government assistance, it must be declared. If you don't file on time, it could cause delays for other benefits you could be entitled to. On Your Side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Well, hopefully you've got that Friday feeling. The weather putting a bit of a damper on things, the wind causing some damage, and then there's a frost advisory.
I know. The sun seemed to come out late today, kind of brightening things up, Lindsay.
It did. It made for a pretty lovely late afternoon, if you could put up with the fact that those winds were absolutely howling out there. Toronto Hydro reporting a few outages as a result of those strong winds. It seems some branches may be coming down off of trees, and that could affect some power lines. The winds will ease through the night tonight, but boy, oh boy, they've been strong today. Weather is brought to you by Train for home comfort, cooling, and clean air. It's hard to stop a train. Let's talk about some of those peak wind gusts, close to 80 kilometers per hour for us at Pearson International, upwards of 80K at Buttonville in the Markham area. And those gusts have been quite strong in other parts of the province too. Even right now, we're still seeing the winds, and you'll notice that they're coming out of the northwest. And the direction is important because it influences what it feels like out there. Tonight, colder air moves in, and with that, we are forecasting an overnight low of about zero. That's likely to happen just before sunrise tomorrow morning. The evening won't be quite as cool, but already it feels a little bit chilly out there. We've also, as a result, have the potential for frost, anywhere from Windsor right along the shores of Lake Erie, Lake Ontario, and into eastern sections of the province. This is because it's going to be cool, the skies will be clear, and the winds will be significantly calmer, so keep that in mind. A chilly start to your Saturday morning, but look at the afternoon high, 13 degrees. That's still a little bit cooler than what's considered normal at this time of year, but it's an improvement from today. Let's take another look at the satellite and radar. We're starting to see an increase in cloud cover again in Toronto. It's possible that we could see a passing shower through the early part of this evening before things really clear out. And yes, once again, we've got some snow impacting maybe areas as far south as Peterborough, Port Perry, Uxbridge, just a heads up. But here's Saturday morning. It's looking pretty clear. Cloud cover will increase as the day goes on. We've got a chance of showers as we make our way into the afternoon and evening. Sunday at this point is looking mostly dry. There's going to be lots of opportunities to get outside this weekend, but then the next system is going to roll in for Sunday night, and it too is going to impact your day on Monday. So here's a look at the 7-day forecast. Unsettled through the early part of next week with those temperatures remaining a little bit on the cool side. That's your weather for now. CTV News will be right back.
As we end the month of April, we are still in the thick of the third wave. Among the big developments this week, an influx of vaccines allowing for new booking eligibility and new efforts to slow the spread. It's time for Overview with Evan Solomon. Evan, Doug Ford wants tougher border measures, among other things. Is that something that could be coming down the pipeline?
Well, look, there's the politics of this and the principle. The politics are that, you know, Doug Ford is getting a lot of blame for opening up too quickly, not putting enough vaccines to the hot zone areas, not having a limited enough essential work list to limit community spread. So I spoke to the health minister and they said the big gains are just on limiting community spread, which is the provincial jurisdiction. But here's the issue. The federal government maintains that only 2% of the infections are coming in through international travel. But if you talk to doctors like Colin Furness, that does not understand the math of exponents. The variants are all coming from somewhere, not Canada, so they're crossing the border. And number two, they're much more contagious. So only if two people come in, that can multiply very quickly. And the federal government does not seem to be taking in the multiplication effect of the new variants. And that's why there's many people that say they should have tougher restrictions especially at the border, at the road border, where people can just drive over. Some people, like Doug Ford, say keep people in these hotels for at least 3 days. So borders are an issue. Are they coming? The answer sounds like no.
Evan, into the month of May, COVID hotspots are getting a doubling of doses. A whole bunch more people are going to be eligible to book their shot. Are we turning a corner here on the vaccine front?
Yeah, look, the race between the variants and the vaccines is... That's the only race in town, right, Mish? But the variants are winning. We are in a terrible third wave. Ontario's suffering a brutal third wave. Alberta's suffering a brutal third wave. Nova Scotia's got the military like Ontario there. Quebec's got hotspots. The variants are winning because they're overwhelming ICUs. But finally, the vaccines are making a late surge, 2 million this coming week, 2 million after that. They are coming. They got to get into people's arms. Is it enough to stop the third wave? Too late. It's here. But yeah, you're right. There's finally some real hope on the horizon.
Nice to have a little bit of hope. Thank you, Evan. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mish. Stay safe.
You too. And a reminder to join him on Sunday for CTV's Question Period and weeknights for Power Play on CTV News Channel.
Now to Toronto Together, where a group of local Asian-owned businesses have joined forces to create a Mother's Day gift box.
Proceeds from the project will benefit the businesses as well as local nonprofit organization.
Supporting local and supporting a nonprofit and giving something back to mothers was something all of us really wanted to do. And we were very fortunate to be able to work with the woman that we are working with because they've been so gracious, they've been so helpful and so overwhelmingly supportive.
The gift box features an 8-course meal from Yue Tung Restaurant, as well as a number of other items from businesses throughout Toronto. Those involved say it's important to support each other.
To be able to pull something together with people who are just like myself and support their endeavors in a time that is quite difficult for all of us is extremely important. I think to bring it to the forefront and allow for everyone to see their talents and to see how successful these businesses are and can be.
In addition to supporting the businesses, some of the money will go to the Chinese Collective Arts Association. May 3rd is the last day for people to buy the boxes.
Justin Bieber is calling off a summer tour that was scheduled to begin just over 1 month from now.
Painting stars up on your ceiling because you wish that you could find some feeling.
A message on Bieber's official website says he is rescheduling the tour to 2022 in light of the current public health crisis. The canceled tour would have stopped in Toronto in July if restrictions allowed. Tickets will be honored for the new dates or refunded.
If you didn't get the chance to see Come From Away before theaters closed, you will soon have the chance to watch it at home.
Tonight, we honor what was lost, but we also commemorate what we found.
The Tony Award-winning musical tells the real-life story of Americans whose flights were diverted to Newfoundland on 9/11 and the overwhelming welcome they received. Deadline now reports the filmed production will be releasing on Apple TV Plus later this year.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
Updating our top stories, Major League Baseball and the Toronto Blue Jays have cut ties with Hall of Famer Roberto Alomar. It follows an investigation into a sexual misconduct allegation. Alomar says he is disappointed with the news and hopes to address the accusation directly.
If the borders were safe, the system would be working. I can tell you, and I think everyone can see, it's not working.
The premier is calling on Ottawa to do more to stop COVID-19 variants from entering Canada, saying without stricter measures, Ontario's healthcare system will be at a greater risk.
Frankly, this is a fantastic mission. My team is very excited, and we had great volunteers from across the country to come and work today. So pandemic, no pandemic, when we have a chance to help fellow Canadians, we're all in.
Canadian Armed Forces members are helping care for patients at Sunnybrook's Field Hospital. Their arrival is part of the effort to reduce strain on Ontario's health system.
Don't forget to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know. We are awaiting details of a report into long-term care in this province.
Specifically, how they've been impacted during this pandemic. And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're now joined by co-anchors Nick Dixon and Reshmi Nair. So Reshmi, you'll have a reaction tonight, plus a very personal story.
Yes, Zoraida, I think so many of us still remember that first wave when there was that image of a woman in Orchard Villa, one of the long-term care homes, reaching out to her daughter, and her daughter was on the other side of that window. Diane Colangelo lost her mother almost a year ago. She's going to join us tonight as we await those details, as you mentioned, from the commission on this investigation into what happened during that first deadly wave here in Ontario.
And Nick, this has been a busy week for the premier in terms of headlines. You'll be speaking to a panel of political strategists.
That's right. It's been a busy week for sure. Has it been a good week or a bad week for Premier Ford? Well, that's really going to depend on who you're talking to, whether it's the paid sick days bill, which Doug Ford said was going to be the best in North America. That is demonstrably not true. We'll talk about that program, plus the long-term care situation. Again, we wait for that report. We'll see what that says about what the government could have done. And then also, of course, the revelation overnight of the emails regarding Rod Phillips's trip to the Caribbean over Christmas. That is hitting as well. So we'll have a panel of strategists from across the political spectrum joining us to assess the situation.
It's going to be a busy show. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks.
And CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar lost a tenth of a cent to 81.36 U.S. American benchmark oil slid $1.43 a barrel to close at 63.58. And the TSX Composite Index lost 147 points to close at 19,108.
The Canadian economy is regaining more ground lost during the pandemic. New numbers from StatsCan are showing 11 straight months of GDP gains despite the challenges of COVID-19. If the agency's early estimates for March hold true, the economy could post growth of more than 6% for the first quarter. Analysts are also predicting a positive second quarter despite ongoing lockdowns in several provinces.
The parent company of Tim Hortons beat earning expectations in its latest quarter, but that wasn't thanks to the coffee chain. Restaurant Brands International says restrictions linked to COVID are hurting sales at Tim Hortons, as many people skip their daily coffee runs and work from home. Sales was down nearly 5% for the period. RBI also owns Burger King and Popeyes. The company says overall, sales and profits were still up thanks to those brands and wider reopenings south of the border.
Well, speaking of reopenings, Disney fans weren't hiding their enthusiasm today when the company's California theme park reopened its doors. People cheered as they walked through the gates of Disneyland. The park had been closed for an unprecedented 13 months because of COVID-19, of course. California permitted the reopening with strict pandemic precautions in place. More than half of eligible residents have at least one shot of the vaccine.
After the break, no yoking around here. Why this backyard chicken is taking a Toronto neighborhood by storm.
Coming up this Saturday on Things to Know TO, Stephen and Emma Biggs join us with tips to help us get growing in the garden. Katie German of Food Share Toronto tells us about their programs and how we can get involved. Steve Doherty of Youth Without Shelter highlights their work supporting youth facing homelessness. And Tova Barocas of Earth Ranger shares how they empower children to protect animals and their habitats. All this coming up Saturday morning on Things to Know TO.
Coming up on CP24 tonight, long-term care. Experts weigh in on the challenges ahead. And Doctor's Day, how you can show your appreciation to healthcare professionals. A closer look at today's top stories tonight at 7 on CP24.
Finally, on this Friday, giving new meaning to the age-old question, why did the chicken cross the road?
The Toronto woman getting exercise not only for herself, but also her neighbor's backyard poultry. Multimedia journalist Brian Weatherhead has more.
that she'll jump up on my lap, and it will be leash time. I saw that there was a picture of a chicken being walked on the internet, and I thought, oh, that was kind of funny and cute.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
And she's a little bit nervous. She's not used to all the attention, all the fame.
Absolutely.
So she will walk for treats. Usually right now it's a little bit cold, but when it's nice outside, she'll just walk outside and all the kids will come. There's a park over there, so the kids come and they stare at her and they play like that little girl did with her, the like blow kisses and everything.
Is that a chicken?
It is.
Whoops. I thought I was seeing things.
So this is somebody that I can see right now, you know, like it's weird to say that a chicken's like a little companion. I had to find a few things that were doable just on my own, and taking care of these chickens was just a nice little hobby that I've never done before. Yeah, so I don't mind doing things that are a little bit more out of the ordinary as long as everybody is safe and happy. I don't mind looking weird. I'm past that point in my life.
I feel the same way. Well, hopefully the wind didn't ruffle that chicken's feathers.
Ooh, I like that.
I like it too. And you know what? If you're going to take your dog or your chicken for a walk this evening, you have to still contend with some gusty winds and maybe a passing shower. Not only that, but it's chilly outside, so bundle up. Here's another look at the satellite and radar. We're seeing snow in parts of Muskoka, around Rosso and Port Carling. We're also experiencing some precipitation from Newmarket over toward the Belleville area. There might be some wet snowflakes mixing in there too. It's a 30% chance of showers tonight for us here in Toronto. Overnight, though, it will be drier. The skies will clear. Conditions will be cool and calm. And as a result, we have potential for frost. So just a reminder, a bit of a chilly start to your Saturday, but then the afternoon and Saturday evening is looking milder. Also, though, a chance of showers, especially as we move into Saturday late afternoon and evening. Unsettled, generally speaking, for the first week of May. That's a look at the 7-day forecast. Michelle and Zoraida, over to you.
Thanks, Lindsay, and be sure to join Zoraida later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight with Rashmi Nair and Nick Dixon begins momentarily on CP24.
For Lindsay and all of us here at CTV News, have a great night.
We'll see you at 11:30.